This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. Scrutiny by officials in Vermont and New York over water wells contaminated by the suspected carcinogen PFOA is not limited to state health departments. In Vermont, Bennington College has been awarded a grant of nearly $90,000 to teach a class and conduct research on the chemical after PFOA was found in private water wells in Bennington and Pownall. The National Science Foundation issues what are known as rapid response grants to colleges and universities in locations that are facing immediate environmental crises. David Bond is a professor and the associate director of the Center for the Advancement of Public Action at Bennington College. He's one of three professors teaching the course on PFOA, along with chemistry professor Janet Foley and geology professor Tim Schroeder. David Bond joins us now on the line to talk about the six-week class, which held its first meeting and began doing some water testing last week. And thanks very much for speaking with us, David.
Well, thank you for having me.
First, congratulations on receiving the National Science Foundation Rapid Response Grant. Can you tell us what the grant is designed to do?
A rapid response is a mechanism at NSF that allows a really quick turnaround on a grant for an urgent issue. So in this case, we were able to put together an application in February and get a decision by early March.
Where else have previous NSF grants supported similar classes and studies?
A number of grants have supported really important work during the BP oil spill to figure out how the oil was dissolving into the ocean and spreading at a microbial level. In the recent Flint, Michigan lead in the drinking water debacle, one of the first tests to sort of measure how much lead was actually in the water in Flint was funded by a RAPID.
It's almost like these grants are like ripped from the headlines whenever an environmental disaster seems to strike.
They've become a very useful mechanism to produce independent data at a time when a lot of citizens are really, really anxious, and at times when there's a lot of contradictory information out there. And the universities and colleges have become a really useful resource to produce independent data.
Well, let's talk about that data a little bit, because I understand the classes don't have the time or expertise to study the health impacts or specifically test human health in the area. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. That's a really complicated set of experiments that and laboratory equipment you would need to do that, and we are not capable of that. We are reading the latest research on public health concerns around PFOA, and we're sort of equipping students and community members to sort of partake in those debates, but we ourselves won't be doing experiments or tests along those lines.
What will you be doing then with this grant money?
Most of the grant money is going to go towards water sampling, sending them out to our laboratory for analysis for PFOA. This, of course, is what the state is also doing, but we're sort of trying to design our experiments to sort of not just duplicate what the state is doing, but to add something new to the conversation.
What do you think might be added that's new?
There's a few things. One, we can do tests across state lines. So Vermont DEC and New York DEC are both doing a great job testing, but they're sort of bound in where they can ask questions. And we can sort of follow the contaminant where we find it and go across state lines and produce a database that sort of doesn't stop at the state border.
So you're referring to the situation in Hoosick Falls, I take it?
The grant, as it was written, was for equal parts Hoosick Falls and North Bennington. The other thing we can do is we can sort of ask slightly different questions of the problem. So the state, rightfully, is very focused on figuring out where it is and beginning to address how they can sort of safeguard citizens from it. One of the things we're going to do is test a cluster of houses every 2 weeks over a few months. A house that has a high reading, a house that has a lower reading, and a house that's a non-detect. They're in very close proximity to each other. So we can begin to see, are those initial readings stable? Are they changing quite frequently over time? And is there a reason we can sort of begin to sort of figure out why the readings are so different on houses that are so close to one another?
That's really interesting. I mean, would you take some of that data and then offer it to the state if you thought that it would be helpful to them?
Absolutely. We've been in conversation with the state from day one, and we'll continue to be in conversation with the state. We're really wanting to sort of not duplicate them, but sort of offer a new kind of insight and use our resources in ways to sort of help out with the larger project of responding to this.
One of the questions in a lot of people's minds is, when did DuPont and other producers like ChemFab know about the dangers of the PFOA? And I wonder if there's, obviously, this is not an investigative arm I think your class would be taking on, but is there a social justice aspect to this class at all?
Yes, I mean, this is part of the concern. The question of when did DuPont and when did ChemFab know, I mean, we haven't yet gone through the archives of ChemFab, and that will probably happen as we move forward and those are opened to new kinds of inspection. But DuPont, we know, had lots of concerns about PFOA as early as, I think, the 60s and 70s when they started doing tests and beginning to sort of document it in workers' bloods and then in the drinking water surrounding their plant. A lot of what we know of that comes out of those initial worker cohort studies.
What about students and their involvement in community response? Will there be some?
Absolutely. So I mean, one of the big questions we have is how should a college respond to an issue like this when an environmental problem happens nearby? What is the proper role of a college? That's an open question for us. We don't quite know the answer to that. One of the things we're trying to design this class for is to teach students how to be good citizens when something like this happens. How to ask the right kinds of questions, how to produce or interpret data, and how to demand better protections for water resources.
So I mentioned in the beginning that there has been some water sampling done already. I don't imagine you have results yet, or maybe you do, but how did that first water sampling go?
It went really well. We sent our first batch of samples to a lab on Monday morning, and they are samples from residential wells, samples from natural springs in our area, and samples from maple syrup, a tree that was tapped near ChemFab. We're curious to see how it comes back, that one.
David, I understand that you, and this is not related to your research or your classes here, but you have some concerns about changes to the Toxic Substance Control Act, and this could have an effect in Vermont, I understand. It may already have.
Yeah, this is being debated between the House and the Senate right now, and there's an open question that I can't get a straight answer on, the question of federal preemption. The Toxic Substance Control Act, right, it was passed in 1976. The new version has a thing called federal preemption, where if the EPA decides to bring a chemical under investigation or under review, states are prevented from putting out guidelines or rules on it. Is rules going to be interpreted for guidelines as well? It's an open sort of word. Does it mean that states in this new law, that if the EPA has a chemical under review, states are not allowed to offer any kind of guidance for it? And one of the curious things about PFOA is it's been on the EPA's radar since the late 90s. So it's been under review at the EPA for a very, very long time.
Specifically, what are you wondering about the state of Vermont in relation to this?
If this new law had passed, the modernization, since PFOA is under review at the EPA, would Vermont have been able to issue its 20 parts per trillion guidance for PFOA? It's a question that I can't get a straight answer from anyone. And I reached out to the Senate, the congressional delegation from Vermont and others, and it's just something I want to keep interjecting into the conversation everywhere I can.
David Bond is a professor and the associate director of the Center for the Advancement of Public Action at Bennington College. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.